Blog Talk Radio.
Satellite Guys Radio proudly presents another edition of Satellite Nation. Do you have a comment for the show? Or maybe you have a question for us? If so, we look forward to taking your calls at 877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728-4897. Now, here are your hosts, Michael and Dave.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Satellite Nation. This is our 17th episode. Here on July 17th, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Coming to you live from Murphy, North Carolina, like I always do every week. And I got my co-host with me here, Dave Wallace.
Yep, right here in Kentucky. Yep. How you Dave, doing tonight?
Good. And so we... what was that?
That was my wife talking like she normally does. We're driving home currently, so I'm on speakerphone here.
I didn't know he turned you on. I didn't know you turned on yet. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
I thought Dave was making
almost home.
Oh, you're driving? Is it storming?
Yep, I'm driving.
Driving an automobile with the family. All right, there you go. All right, well, I'm going to put you back on mute for a second then.
All right, I'm pulling my driveway now, so that's good.
All right. Sorry about that, Mr. Michael.
I didn't know you had him turned on.
Dan's on too, so I got them both on mute right now. So we forgot to talk about something last week that's been driving me crazy. What is this DirecTV Dogs Only channel? I don't understand that. They have separation anxiety. Apparently.
Yeah. I guess each is on his own opinion. That's why we got politics and Republicans and Democrats and the ones that don't believe any of it and whatever. But, yeah, it's just – I think that's crazy. My dog don't sit – I don't leave TV on for my dog. And it's the same way when I was – I used to get this a lot. I used to do it. Installing satellite dishes and stuff, be showing people the channel, I get it installed and everything's going, walk them through, to do a walkthrough with them. Here's how to use the remote, blah, 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 blah. I say, here's your news channels, here's your cartoon channels, here's this channel. Kind of, give them a brief idea. Of course, they're going to remember it all. And one day, I'd always say, here's how your kind of your crap shop at home channels and here's your religious channels or whatever. But one day, I did this, and I never did it again. This lady, I said, looky here, I was going through it, and it was Dish Network, so it's kind of categorized all together, and I was going up through it. I got up in the 200s, and I said, and here's all the, here's kind of crappy shop at home channels. We'll go past them here, and I'll show you what's next. And she just stopped me. She goes, excuse me? And I didn't know what to say. I was like, I didn't really say anything. She goes, do you see that over there? And you see this over here? And you see this over here? She started pointing out things in her house. And I was like, yes, ma'am. She goes, I bought every one of them off QVC. She says, that's my favorite channel, so do not call it a crap channel. If I say dog channel is a crap channel, is going to ridicule me, but H is on.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. It's not a crap channel. I was talking about home shopping network. QVC is a lot better.
Yeah. QVC is the one. What I meant was home shopping, yeah. Yeah, I actually had that happen to me. I was like, no more of that. I'll just tell people what it is and they can whatever they want to do with it.
Yeah, well, apparently those home shopping channels are quite popular and people order stuff off them.
Yeah.
And those infomercials, too.
Yeah.
I guess it sounds real good on TV and then you get it and you're like, oh, my God, what is that?
Yeah, and if it didn't work, they wouldn't be there, I mean, there'd be some there, but they wouldn't be as profound as they are, If they didn't work.
So,
every 6 months. Go ahead.
Oh, another thing that I found today, if you got DirecTV, this came out yesterday, they've got some changes to the channel lineup. Not too many changes, just a few, probably 10 channels maybe, all HD, most of them, movie channel, Flick, Sundance, HDNet movies, stuff like that.
They move around or...
Like, so one channel, like the movie channel East, is going from 5:54 to 5:53, and the Movie Channel West is going from 5:55 to 5:54, and I don't know. Looks kind of like a cluster. So why don't we bring Dan on and see what he's got going on, see what kind of questions he's got tonight, see what he's been up to. We haven't talked to him for a while. What's the thing? Hold on a second. Hey, Dan, you there?
Hey, guys. Yep. Hi, guys.
How you doing,
Dan? No, not bad. Doing pretty good tonight. Let's see. I got to work on a I told you guys about last week that I got a new job working for a satellite installer and a TV installer.
Yeah, how's that going?
Well, I worked on a went on a service call, two of them on Saturday. Worked on a new Hopper and a Joey. Got a new customer, helped install them, and worked on out in the country on a farmhouse. They had a 30-foot tall TV antenna with a. They had a WineGuard 10-footer out there. They weren't using, just. Great shape, and they were. They had a 4D TV system, and had that, and we were fixing their TV antenna and getting it working, and they were receiving about 40 to 60 channels after we got done.
Wow, and you said it had a 4D TV also?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Did you come home with that, Dan, I hope?
No, I didn't. I know where there's another one at.
Well, they're not worth as much money as they used to be. But.
No, it's going down.
Well, but still, I was just, they had a wine guard in King Overland, the guy I was working for, very nice guy. He told me, he says, I want you to look at the mesh on the dish. And I was like, what's going on? He said, what do you want me to look at? He says, the holes on the dish are a lot smaller than a normal mesh dish, 10-foot or C-band dish. And he said, you get a lot more KU band with that than you do with a normal mesh dish.
Right.
A WineGuard 10-footer.
Right. So that was up on 30-foot pole, huh?
It was, but the 10-footer was right next to the ground, and it was in great shape.
Wow.
And got to work on that. I should have
took pictures.
So the
antenna you were talking about is the TV antenna on the tower is what you were talking about.
Yes.
That
you
got
he was replaced.
Ah, okay. So
yeah,
so you didn't get to play with their C-band dish.
No, I didn't. But I said, I would love to bring out my my little micro HD on this. This would be fun. And we asked the customer if they would like one, but they said, no, they just wanted, they had their dish network 722. K receiver with the over-the-air tuner module.
Right.
And that was pretty good. And they were getting about 75 to 100% signal strength on their TV antenna.
Now, where do they get most of that? The Indianapolis?
No, out of Fort Wayne or South Bend.
Fort Wayne, yeah. That just hit me.
Yeah, Fort Wayne and South Bend, they pick up most of their channels on that. And but anything in lower Michigan, Fort Wayne, South Bend, probably could pick up Chicago and Cleveland and that far away. But she was picking up about a good 40, 60 channels.
Wow.
And
pretty good.
There was and she was getting great signal reception. So
I wish I could do that here. I'm out here in the... I'm not that far from, from where I'm at. There's no TV stations right in my town. They're over in Chattanooga or Atlanta or whatever, and they're on some of the mountains and stuff, but I only get 4 or 5 channels if I put up a good long-range antenna. But these people get tons of channels. I'm envious of them sometimes.
Well, this was good. I mean, she was, got 100% call or 100% signal strength, And I had to, I went into a crawl space and worked on a booster, and it was like kissing the Blarney Stone. You had to get upside down and go in, look underneath it, and I was like, you want me to kiss the Blarney Stone too? And I was like, I had to make the joke.
Oh, yeah. I've been in those situations, believe me. I've been in some place I couldn't even get under to. I had to figure out, engineer ways to get things to where I need them to go.
Well,
if
you have
anything else, questions?
Okay. Well, I talked to Brian about this, and Brian responded. He sent me my email, or sent me a message back, and I told Anole about this, but he hadn't said anything. I was just, Brian told me about the menu, certain debugging menu. I hit the wrong button on the on my micro HD, and it came up, looked like some sort of a chart.
Yeah.
And just, that was a debugging menu.
Yeah, that's really developers, but yeah, be careful what you push in there.
Yeah, I wasn't trying. I was like watching what I was like, okay, what's this? And it's like, okay, this is odd. So I never really want to screw around with that. That was way over my head.
Yeah, you push the wrong thing, you'll be crying. But,
let's see. Overall, I haven't been doing much. I've just been busy working and getting everything else done. I got my Galaxy 19 back, my C-band L&B bit the dust.
Uh-oh.
Well, when it rained so much, it pretty much all went into the C-band L&B, and it killed it.
Oh, yeah, that ain't good.
Oh, when you turn it upside down, and you just see the water coming right out of it, and I'm like, oh, great. So it's like, well, that killed that. So
we like to have you call in, Dan. Appreciate it. But we got some more stuff on the agenda here, so we're going to have to let it slide. So.
Okay, that's fine.
Thanks for calling, Dan. Talk to you later.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
So, Dave, what's next on your little list? I know you got a list there somewhere.
Mr. Scott, if he's out of the car with the family, you there, Mr.?
Oh yeah,
Mr. Scotty Scott.
How
are we doing tonight?
I'm out of the car and doing good. Just hopped in the hot tub, which I have dialed down to 83 degrees, and it's currently 94 degrees here, so the water feels really, really good.
That's like a pool temperature there.
Yeah, it feels nice just sitting here. We had a nice weekend, and Dave, appreciate you coming down, being part of the satellite guys. I had a nice time, and what an incredible town Little Ionia, Michigan is.
Yeah.
You didn't get to go on all the tours. You got to go on the drive-in theater tour, and that was incredible just by itself.
Oh, that guy, so this drive-in theater there, Bart, Danny Boy's driving. I mean, he's got his stuff together. I mean, he's one of those guys that pays attention to detail, and you can tell. And it's just, it's impressive.
I never met a more energetic, happy, positive person in my life, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that when he said there was a lot of, when all the lines at the concession stand would get packed, they would come back and step back and take a smile break. I was like, what?
Yep. Everybody would stop what they're doing and take a smile break. But the Danny Boy's Drive-In has a unique story behind it because they're one of the few companies in the United States where their employees are trained by Disney procedures, and they use a Disney training manual for them. So that's a really neat thing there. So it's a real family-friendly place. And it's not just a drive-in movie theater. They do a lot with the kids before the show starts. I was actually kind of surprised when I drove over there this week. Here in Connecticut, right now, it's getting dark out, and it's only sometime before 8:30. So by about 8:45, it's going to be dark here. Over in Ionia, Michigan, it don't get dark until 10:15, even though we're still on East Coast time. So what they do is they got to keep the kids amused because it's got to be dark enough to show the movies outside. So they have this character called Danny Boy that dresses up and comes outside and plays with the kids and dances with the kids, and they have something different for the kids every week. Every week they got a different thing going on. They're going to be landing a helicopter there in the next couple weeks, and the kids will be able to go sit in the helicopter and they got planes that are going to be coming in, landing. There's an airport right next to it, so they're going to push some planes in there, letting the kids sit in some of the planes. This weekend, they got a big hula hoop contest going on and showing kids how to hula hoop with Danny Boy. and just an incredible place. I mean, this guy's got his stuff down, and I see success in this guy's future. So
that was one of the didn't he say he had about 500 car spots, I think?
Yeah, he could, 500 like car spots, and and he's doing about 200 for each showing.
Yeah. Which is equivalent to selling out, I think you said, what, like two or three movie theaters? Because, you know, there's like three or four people in each car, which is a ticket.
Yes, that's correct.
Yep.
So he's doing great there, and they're showing first-run films, and it's probably the last and final 35-millimeter projector ever installed in a theater. Because everything else is going digital. He's 35-millimeter for now, and we'll be switching over to digital sometime in the future, but... with me, we got to go in there and see how they put all the films on the platters and saw the FM transmitters and I saw the most incredible bathrooms you've ever seen in your life. You never expect to see them in a drive-in theater.
It looked like some out of a movie.
It did. And the cleanest, you could probably eat in there and not worry about catching anything. That's how clean the place was. So incredible place. And then you got to also check out a nice tour of the WION studios in Ionia. And,
man.
Jim loves showing his station off. He loves showing that station off.
Oh, yeah. He's got an operation there. He's Jim's a good guy. He's, I don't know. He's, I'm glad I met him.
Yeah, me too. And the whole town was incredible. It was like we were royalty while we were there. Any place we went, the doors are wide open for us, and people were waiting to show us around and happy to show us around. Me and my wife did some shopping at the stores around there, and we didn't spend that much money, but you could act like they acted like we spent a ton of money, and they were so happy that someone from out of town came into their town and spent some money. And it was nice, and then one saw a couple of historical sites, and even at one of the sites we went and saw, even though the place was closed that day, they opened up for us for the tour. And the people that gave us the tour were dressed in the full costumes for the time period for the house. And, I mean, it was 89, 90 degrees outside. These guys were in these full period 1870s costumes.
Dang.
Whew.
But just a great place. And who knows, we may have to go back there next year and do it again. And our host restaurant was fantastic. We had Rich Thompson there from the Lamplight Grill who hosted us there, and great food and great prices. When I walked in on Saturday night, I put my credit card on the bar, and I told Rich that anything that any Satellite Guys member wants is on me, whether it be food, whether it be alcohol, food and alcohol, whatever, it's on me. And we had, what, about 15, 16 people there?
Yeah.
And at the end of the night, you know what the total bill came to for alcohol and food for everybody?
$200.
$240 for 15 people.
That ain't bad at all.
You know, I forgot about that. Everything in there was really affordable. Like popcorn at the movie theater was like $2. And like all the lunch specials everywhere were in like the $4 range. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, at the Dragon movie, the large Coke was like $1.50.
Yeah.
I go to my movie theater here, and a large Coke's like $7.50.
Oh yeah.
It's like wow.
Bart
but
looked at Jim and goes, "Gas is the same price here. I don't understand what's going on."
The gas prices were the same as they were here in Connecticut, but everything else was so much cheaper.
Wow.
So just a nice place and nice people, and I'm glad we did it. And I'm thinking about maybe doing it again next year. It was just such a nice area and such a nice place to relax.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
And so I thank Jim for hosting us because he put it all together and did a great job, was a great guide, and put us on the air on Friday morning. And Friday morning we made our big announcement for Satellite Guys and what the 10th anniversary birthday present is going to be that some lucky Satellite Guys member is going to win. And we got to do that on his morning show, which was really cool. And I'm sure you're wondering, if you did not hear the show on WION Radio on Friday, you want to know what the prize is, right?
Yeah, but I was wondering.
I didn't know what it was, and I found out it's crazy good.
The prize is a dream vacation with me and Eva aboard the new Norwegian cruise ship, and I forget the ship's name offhand, or I had it written downstairs, but Norwegian is coming out with a brand new ship in January, and it sails from New York and goes to Bermuda. So a Satellite Guys member and one guest will be able to come with us. They're going to get a balcony room. They're going to get a onboard credit, so that way a lot of their drinks on board will be paid for by us. We're going to go on one excursion when we get to Bermuda. Will also be paid for by us. And a couple dinners on board the ship. You know, we'll go to some of the fancier restaurants on the ship, and that will be paid for by us as well. And that's what the big 10th anniversary prize is. Or if the person doesn't want to go on a vacation with us, they can take a cash consolation prize. But the cruise itself is going to be worth a lot more than what the cash consolation prize is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Norwegian Breakaway. I just remembered it. That's the name of the ship, the Breakaway.
Wow.
So that's going to be
is the ship always going to leave from New York, or is it one of the like transfer type ones where they just move it to port?
It's a maiden voyage.
For the first 2 years, it's going to be going from New York to Bermuda.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
After that, then, who knows? Also included, and I didn't mention this, is airfare and one night's hotel stay in New York City. We'll fly into New York City. You'll be able to spend the night in New York City and then meet the boat in the morning, get on the boat, and then we'll even fly you back home.
How long is this trip supposed to last? You know, the whole, once you get on the boat and get back?
It's either 6 or 7 days.
Yeah, I figured something like that.
Whoever the winner is, we're going to work with them to pick the date that's best for them.
Oh, that's good.
And then we'll work around it. So it could be a 6-day or 7-day, depending on which one they choose.
Right.
How do you
win? Damn.
That's what the grand prize is going to be. Something. You know, I was racking my head, what can we give away that we haven't done before that's really, really cool? And everybody in the pub member area always talks about cruises.
Yeah.
And I said, what a perfect prize to give away. And I hope someone wins it that has never been on a cruise before, so we can teach them what cruising's really like. If you've never been on a cruise, it's like living in a city where you wake up in the morning and you're at a different place than you were the day before.
Wow. Yeah, I've never been on a cruise myself.
And if you're afraid of seasickness or anything like that, don't be afraid. You're not going to feel anything on these ships. They're too big.
Yeah, they're too big, yeah. They give it
to John. The only thing that's going to remind you you're on a cruise ship is when you look out the window and you see the ocean out there. And, again, everybody's going to – the winner's going to get a balcony room, so they'll have their own private balcony looking outside.
Wow.
That's what the grand prize is going to be this year, and I'm really excited about it. So
that's what
we're
going
to be giving away.
I can't wait to win that.
Yep, the staff is eligible.
Oh.
So how do you win? What do you have to do to win?
I'll be posting details on the website soon, but the way it's going to work is that you'll have to enter, and we're finalizing the raffle program, which we used to use before. The person who wrote it is updating it for me for V-Bulletin 4.2.1. because there were some incompatibilities there. Once that's done, each member will be able to enter 10 times per day.
Oh, so, wow.
Is the person that's writing the program eligible?
Probably not. I don't know.
I'm just joking.
But it's all random. It's 100% random when it picks the winner. I don't pick the winners. Eva doesn't pick the winners.
Yeah.
And something unique. And also, for that cruise, when we figure out what the date of the time of the cruise is, we'll be announcing it on Satellite Guys itself, so maybe if more members want to come with us and pay their own way, we can do that and have a big Satellite Guys gathering on the boat. That'd be kind of cool as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll be responsible for booking their own stuff, but we'll tell you know, which cruise we're going on, when we're leaving, and here's the details, and here's some good places to get some good deals on the cruise. So.
Right.
We're not going to lock anybody into a specific travel agent. If they have a travel agent they like using, they can use their own travel agent. And, make it nice. And the other nice thing about it is if the person doesn't want to hang out for Satellite Guys all the time, I don't have a problem in the world with that. It's your vacation, so do what you want. If they only want to see us for dinner once during the week, that's fine by me. You know what I mean?
You stay on one side of the boat, and I stay on the other, okay? But, yeah, now you have to post it now on the site now that it's on here. But yeah, it's, what, less than 2 months away. September 7th, right? September 7th is the anniversary, so.
Yes, it is. So in order to build up some summer traffic here, since it's so slow, that's why we're going to do the 10 entries per day to keep people coming back.
Oh, yeah. And it'll skyrocket, too, just like around Christmas.
Yep. That's what I'm hoping for. And for Christmas, we've already started our Christmas shopping, so
yeah.
We're looking good there as well. I don't know if I should say anything, but we already picked up an Xbox One and a PlayStation 4 for the Christmas party, so.
Wow.
We're looking forward to that.
That's what I'm going to do is, it'd be nice to win it, but I'm not looking at winning it, but my PS3 died a couple months ago, or about a month ago, so I'm just waiting out for PS4 and just get one of those. And
when are they supposed to come out?
Supposed to be sometime in November, right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So did Xbox get rid of that crazy idea where they were going to not let people, transfer the games?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's all gone. That's all gone by now.
Yeah, they got rid of all that.
We're sorry. We heard you. Basically, I took a look at the numbers and saw that the PlayStation 4 was outselling the Xbox One by 5-1 or something like that.
Yeah, the pre-order is so much higher. Yeah, way higher. They're like, wait a minute, we're going to go out of business here. We don't do something.
Now, does Nintendo have something else coming out?
No.
No.
Who?
Nintendo,
but no, they had their Wii U come out last year, which was a flop.
Yeah. If they did, they ain't telling about yet.
My kids has got one, and then they use it once or twice, and that's been about it. So.
Thanks. But anyway, I want to hear about what I want to hear about is the radio station. When you toured it and what you seen and what's wowed you or whatever.
The first thing that wowed me when I pulled into town is we flew into Flint on a little propeller plane. And then we got the rental car, hopped in the rental car, and my wife says, I wonder if you can pick your station up out here. So I turned on the radio and put it on 1430, and there it was, booming way down there in Flint, Michigan.
Wow.
I mean, the AM side got a far distant reach. As we started getting closer to town, I started picking up the FM station, and then it just popped in. When we went around this corner, it just popped in as loud as can be. The next thing I saw on the screen was WION, Welcome Satellite Guys.
That's what I heard.
Yep, on the display there. So that was pretty slick, and surprised the heck out of me. I wasn't expecting that,
Yeah.
Now, what is that called? I still don't remember the acronym that y'all were
talking
about.
That's
RDS. RDS. Okay. And so that's cool. So that's just a 1U appliance that hooks up via serial. And Jim's engineer, Scott, right? Is that his name? Wrote a program to do that.
Scott Beeman.
He won the free air system, too. First one.
Yeah, he won the free. Uh-huh. And he was really happy about winning it, too, which was really cool.
I read that, and I was like, that is so cool, because sometimes people win some of the stuff and ship it to them, and you never hear anything. I've cut off stuff, on there, and for winners, somebody wins it, and they never hear from them again.
Well, he's got a 50-inch... flat screen, and the only thing he's got hooked up to it is a computer for Netflix. So he's going to see some of that full bitrate HD and be like, whoa.
Yes, he's going to enjoy it very much. And the way we did the giveaways for each time is we told people what the prize was going to be, and we gave away a number of prizes on Saturday night. But for each one, we explained to them what each thing was going to be, so that way people who were never going to use it did not enter.
Right.
And we still had about 7-8 people who entered for the free-to-air system. And as Dave can attest, it was completely 100% random. He pulled,
mm-hmm.
pulled the ticket out of the bucket, and it was definitely Scott. So that was very cool. The other cool thing was we obtained one of three known, what's called an Ionia stone. It was a piece of jewelry made from this Ionia stone, and there's only three of these stones known to exist. We purchased one of them, and we gave it away, and it was actually, first of all, it was a Satellite Guys member, but it was also a Satellite Guys member that lived in Ionia. So the Ionia stone's living in Ionia, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah. They'd appreciate it more, yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping that somebody wouldn't win it from far away and then, you know, just call it a piece of junk and stone and throw it somewhere.
I thought I'd throw it on the shelf somewhere or whatever, yeah.
Oh, no, well, they were quite happy that they won. Quite happy.
Oh, yeah. It was attached to a silver necklace, and it was intricately put together, and it looked beautiful, so we were happy to give that away and have the person be a local winner, so that way the Ionia stone stays in Ionia.
You know, I would just point out that, you know, most of these Satellite Guys get-togethers and events are those type events where, like, you go, you arrive, and before you realize it, a lot of time's passed and it's already over, because those are quite enjoyable. So if you haven't ever been to one, the next one, I would encourage you to come on out.
Yeah, so another thing we need to talk about is accommodations. How'd you make out over there, Dave?
Well, let's just say I got on the road a little early.
You too, huh?
Oh, this is hilarious.
Okay,
this is really want to
hear
yeah,
a funny story? All right, here we go. This is a little long. And when I sent my review of the hotel to Priceline.com, it was rather long as well. But we arrived at the hotel on Thursday, went to check in, and walked into our room, and it was about 95 degrees. Popped on the air conditioner, and it was barely blowing out anything but hot air.
Oh.
So called down the front desk, and the front desk said, oh, yeah, yeah, just let it run. When you get back to your room tonight, it'll be nice and cool in there for you. So, you know, it's their hotel, who am I to say that the air conditioning does not work, and, you know.
Right.
So we went back to the hotel room that night, and it was a little cooler in there.
Yeah,
but it was still hot.
Right.
So we opened up the window, and it was outside. It was a lot cooler than it was from the air blowing in from the AC. So the outside actually cooled off the room more than the AC did.
Wow.
We came back the next day. We went out all day. And we weren't in our hotel room at all. When we got back in, it was like 10:30 at night. And we just came back to the room and crashed. And it was cooler in the room, but it was cooler outside as well. But then about 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard like that. I thought, you know, maybe there's a plane going by or something. And I fell back asleep. My wife woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. She says, I think we got a problem in here. Like what? She said the air conditioner died and there's water all over the floor. The carpet was all soaked. So I'm like, okay, well, let's go back to sleep and then take care of it when we get up. So we fell asleep for a little bit more and got back up. So my wife calls down the front desk. She says, our AC died. And the girl said, how do you know this? And she said, because it doesn't turn on and there's water all over the floor. And she's like, well, come on downstairs and I'll give you a key to another room. And you can switch rooms. We're like, okay. So my wife goes down there and gets the car key. We pack up the room to move into the other room and open up the door, and there's somebody sleeping in the bed.
Oh, crap. Damn.
My wife goes downstairs and says, that room is no good. And it was like an ice, where you're in an ice box in there. It was freezing in that room. But, someone, as I said, someone was sleeping in the bed. We saw the feet hanging off the bed, and we shut the door. So went downstairs and told the girl. She's like, oh, I'm terribly sorry about that. Here, I'm going to give you three keys. Check these three. One of them should have good working AC. She goes, one or two of them may not be made up, but I know one of them has to be made up. So we go down there. We open up two of the doors. Feet hanging off the end of the bed. And then we opened up the third one, and it looked like someone destroyed the place. It had big holes in the walls. There were no sheets or anything on the beds. And that's when we said, can we speak to the manager? And the girl told us, well, the manager usually doesn't wake up until 10 or 11.
Yeah.
I said, can't you get him now? He said, no, he does not want to be disturbed. We said, okay, we'll tell the manager that room 204 is checking out a day early, and we expect a refund because we paid for 3 days and only used two.
Right.
She goes, okay, I'll let him know. So later on that day, the manager calls and he's like, doesn't apologize, but just says, well, since you didn't book the room through us, you booked it through online site, you got to contact the online site to get your money back for the other day.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so, but no apologies, no nothing like that.
Oh,
we get together, the satellite guys get together, and here comes Dave walking in the room. I said, Dave, how's your combinations? He says, hey, too bad, but the room's really hot. The AC isn't working correctly. I said, you're not in room 204, are you? He said, yep. I said, you're kidding me. He said, no. I said, it's blowing air, but it's not really blowing cool air. I said, yeah, I know. That was our room. We just checked out of it this morning.
My mouth with the water.
He goes, no way. So I said, do this. And I gave him our room key because we still had a room key in the pocket. And told him to go back to his hotel and try it. And guess what? The key worked.
All the keys are the same.
They did take the hot pockets, though.
Yeah, I had hot pockets in the freezer, and they took those. So that was the fun story. And now it gets more interesting because we come home and my wife's checking the credit card statement, and we already prepaid for the room through Priceline when we ordered it.
Yeah.
Well, what do we find on a credit card? A charge for the room for 3 nights.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Mm-hmm. So my wife calls up the manager of the hotel, and the manager of the hotel says, we didn't charge you. And my wife reads off their numbers to them and says, is this your account number? What's in such a bank? And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's us.
Yep.
And I said, oh, what'd that girl do?
Yeah, blame it on the girl.
He blamed it on the girl and said the money would be refunded within 7 days.
He was probably thinking, I'm going to get money for that same room two times in one day.
And then he denied that 204 was occupied after we left. He said that room was put out of service.
Yeah.
My wife said, you know, Dave and said Dave's name and said he was in that room that night. And he looked at the computer and said, well, I'll be. And then my wife said, you don't change the key cards when someone checks out and someone else checks in? And he was just dumbfounded. And I have a feeling that a lot of those rooms that they said were empty were transients actually living there.
Yeah.
Somebody came by before and found out that the rooms stay open. They keep using the same room key and just stay in there.
Yeah.
Because there were not very many people at that hotel.
No, but the three rooms we went in, the two out of the three three out of the four rooms we went into had people in the bed.
Was only, you know, like three or four cars in the parking lot that night that I was there.
Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling people that don't have a place to stay there. They get a key from somebody and go back in. They never change the locks to the keys. I don't know. The room itself was okay. I mean, it was a combination so you can sleep at night. But with no air conditioning in there, it was kind of unbearable.
It was okay. It was newly remodeled. I mean, it wasn't bad or anything, but God, if it gets hot. I mean, the hallways in the place were just pretty hot, but, you know, it is what it is. It's a funny story.
So that was our adventure, but Dave got our old room.
Poor old Dave.
So it's true that radio, Jim, he does live at his radio station.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He's got his thing outside and beautiful. You know, you think of a trailer and Jim's got a beautiful trailer inside. I mean, it's all done over nice. And this way, if he has a problem or if there's a weather or something happening, he can be on the air instantly. He walks from his bed to the radio station in about 10 steps.
Yeah, I've talked to him on the phone. He said he lived there, and so I guess he really does. I mean, I didn't think he was lying to me, but I've heard him say that.
Oh, Oh, you guys want to hear another funny story about going down to Ionia?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Jim was promoting all week this festival that was going on in the town over from Ionia. It's called the Lowell River Fest.
Yeah.
And so Saturday morning, we went and did the cancer walk. And the cancer walk was very nice, and it meant a lot to me because my aunt died actually the day before, so it had more meaning to me.
Right.
So we went there and did the cancer walk and gave some more money to the Cancer Society and did that there. And then after that, we had a lot of time to kill. So Jim's like, let's go to the river walk. He goes, I've never been before. I've always advertised for a few years, but I've never been. So we hopped in my car, and we drove him down the Lowell River Walk. And as you're walking in there, you've got a big table there where they're selling these ducks. And they have what's called a duck race. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they dump a couple thousand ducks off the bridge. And it takes about an hour to get to the other bridge. And they've got a two pieces of plastic shaped like a V. And so that way, the first 10 ducks that sail in there win a prize.
Right.
We got home on Sunday night, and the phone rings, and guess what? We won. One of the 10 ducks we purchased was the winner of $100.
Wow.
And they sold over 7,000 ducks. So what's the odds there?
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was neat, and I thought I was going to tell my wife to tell them to keep the money. So they kept it in town, but she already told them our address and stuff, so they were sent to check out. But we won. That was a funny happening. And another funny happening while we're at the Lowell River Fest, they had a Dish Network retailer there.
Oh.
And they were selling the Hopper, and I was just walking by, but I had my Satellite Guy shirt on. I had the Satellite Guy t-shirt on. And the girl running the booth recognized me.
Oh.
And she came running out of the booth chasing after me.
He was going to get the other women chasing you.
I guess we met a couple times before. I don't remember because I meet so many people. But she said she met me in Vegas a couple years ago on the show floor and at CES. And she also seen me at Team Summit a couple times. But we talked for about 15 minutes about, you know, the state of Dish Network business and things like that. But it's a small world.
It is sometimes.
Especially when your co-host of your radio show gets your hotel room after you check out of it. some interesting news. It looks like Dish Network is working together. Oh, not Dish Network, but EchoStar is working together with ChannelMaster to build a new over-the-air DVR. As you may remember in the past, EchoStar had their DTV PAL DVR. And then they later sold that off. They were still making them, but they were selling under the ChannelMaster name.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those units were kind of unique because they had a Dish Network smart card in them, and people couldn't figure out why. It is my understanding that these new boxes will also have smart cards in them. And if you're in one of the growing number of communities, and it's supposed to go up to about 40, there soon could be some over-the-air pay TV, 8 channels of Dish available. Channels including Home and Garden Television, Discovery, A&E, History, and a couple other ones are currently up there in testing in about 12 to 14 sites. And the rabbit ear sites that Trip runs has more information on that, but that looks like it's going to be the receiver to pick up that Dish Network programming.
Oh,
yeah, over the air.
Who was that company that tried that before?
Together.
Was that U.S.? Digital tried that?
USB TV, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
I wonder how much
that
box
was in the beginning days.
Yeah.
I don't know, but if it's built as well as the DTV PAL was, they should have no problem selling it. That DTV PAL was a nice box.
Yeah, I wonder where they... When did they announce that? Was that today?
They haven't really announced it yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
It's rumored, but...
Well, I'm sure they probably already have a few demo units out there then.
Yeah, it's more than likely, especially since these channels are broadcasting. And it's channel 56 in all these communities, so. makes it interesting, and it'd be neat. You know, you cut the cable. You cut the cable instead of paying a cable company or even Dish for full satellite service. You cut the cable, you get all the off-air stations, and then you get a suite of 8 channels for, you know, $10 a month. That ain't too bad.
No, sir. It's DVR functionality.
Yep.
And the guide. Not a bad deal at all.
Oh.
So what there was Discovery in there, I think, that Tripp said from the...
Yeah, Discovery was in there.
Yeah.
And now those are probably, if it's going to be 8 channels, and that's in a 6 megahertz deal, so that's probably going to be SD then, though.
Yeah, that's probably the big drawback of the entire thing.
But if you don't care and you're just going a little bit, you know,
people cutting the cable don't really care about picture quality.
That's right.
No,
they don't.
Still get your locals in HD. So, I mean, that'd be all right.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of interesting there. Let's see, what other satellite news we got this week? As you mentioned at the beginning of the show, DirecTV is going to the dogs on August 1st.
What is up with that? That is just crazy.
It'd be one thing if it was a free channel, but it's $4.99 a month.
Yeah, remember Baby TV was $4.99 a month. Remember that?
Is your dog going to watch that much TV that's worth spending $4.99 a month?
People spend a lot of money on their pets, though. A lot of money.
And some actually think that. If I trade them, you know, more than they, better than I treat their children, that's ridiculous.
What someone needs to do is just order it for 1 month and make DVDs of all the shows they got and let their friends with dogs.
That's about right.
The dog ain't going to know it's a repeat.
Exactly.
No, that's probably what will be shown for the next 10 years.
I thought it was going to be four, damn it.
It's going to be the 15-minute boom loop of dogs.
Yeah, $4.99 a month from DirecTV. So wish them luck selling that one.
I wish I could see the numbers on that. See how many people actually subscribe. I mean, I know there's going to be people.
I bet they do.
Oh, yeah, there's people going to do it. There will be people that do it, but I'd like to see the numbers. I'm sure they won't show it, but I'd like to see it.
What'd be funny if it's not even a real channel and they just download it to your DVR and it's just playing a loop?
Yeah.
Now, something funny, we took my dog to a kennel. And in the kennel, you had the option of having a TV in there. And you paid the $5 for each day that the dog was in there. And they basically showed Milo and Otis running over and over and over again.
Okie dokie then.
And then they had the community room where they had a TV in there where all the dogs go watch TV. And
sounds like a jail. We got the community room, and we got your own room.
Let's see. I don't know what else from satellite going on there, but to everybody who did join us in Ionia, thank you for coming down. It was a great time. People drove in from Chicago. Dave drove in from Kentucky. We had some other faraway guy from, I think, Indiana show up on Friday night. So he got his own little private satellite guys meet and greet. Which was kind of neat. And
Jason was there.
Yep, Jason was there. Jason Crandall.
Yeah.
And Claude stopped by.
Yeah, I've seen that where you mentioned Claude stopped by.
And he even brought his DirecTV meter, too. That was cool that I never got to play with before.
Yeah, I tried stealing it, but he kept on.
I'm not going to bring a Dish Network meter, I can tell you that, if they made one.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know why he brought his meter with him, but he did.
No, I think Jason was talking to him, and then I saw him walk out to the car and bring it back in. So, because Jason's in DirecTV, and I didn't realize until he told me that. I guess with their whole home DVR, these little boxes—I don't know what they're called. I haven't really looked at it all that much. The software is not all that great in them. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they freeze up a lot. They're slow. You know, you hear the DirecTV people making fun of the Hopper all the time.
Yeah.
And the big advantage that the Genie has over the Hopper is the 5 tuners. But for me, that's not really too much of a problem because if you need more tuners, you just add another Hopper.
Right.
And it all connects together and everything's good. And, you know, they're working on a client for the LG TVs. It's actually built into the TV, the app. You can watch it separately in your LG TV. And it's not slow because it's actually everything's being drawn and sent from the Hopper itself. The TV's not doing any decoding of anything. It's just it's just acting as a display. So that's some neat stuff there. And they showed that at Team Summit, but I know a couple people have it, and they say it works wonderfully.
That's cool. I wonder what the pricing is going to end up be for that. Be interesting to see. It's probably going to be $7, I bet, but we'll see.
Yeah, they'll charge for it and say, you know, it's an additional outlet fee or programming fee or something like that. But it saves them money on the Joey boxes.
Yeah. Oh, man, I didn't even put that together with the new, if they do come out with a new DVR PAL with the 6 megahertz they own almost nationwide. I think the only place they don't have it is out in California, some places. But other than that, I mean, they have that everywhere in the country.
Yeah, no, they don't have anything in New England either. They didn't win it in New England State, so.
Oh, they didn't?
I won't be seeing it. Nope.
No. Sorry, Charlie.
They can't have it in California. It's been known to cause cancer and, you know.
At
California.
Yep.
So how did it get to your places today?
Oh man, it is just miserable in Kentucky. Almost 100.
Yeah, we got 99 here in Newington today.
96.
See, me and Michael's humidity is so much worse than yours up in Connecticut, though. I mean, you just walk outside here and you just start.
Our heat index was way for 100. Yeah. With the air conditioner on in the house and stuff, I was still sweating. It was just crazy. My wife wasn't here today, but yesterday she was, I don't think the AC's working. Blah, blah, blah. I didn't even check, and I said, yep, it's working just fine. I checked, yep. So what? I said, cause it's middle of July, and the heat index is through the roof, the humidity 100%. And I said, that's why. Just get over it.
My kids were wondering why I went around the house this morning and shut all the shades so it made dark in all the rooms.
Yeah, I did the same.
Why are you making it so dark in the room? I said, because the sun's going to heat it up.
Yeah, I did the same thing. It does kind of feel desolate or whatever, but it makes a difference. Something I was thinking about, too, when you was at first the show, you still might have a difference in the when the sun set and stuff. I'm here in right North Carolina, Tennessee border where I live. But, and the sunset's here. Right now, I'm still seeing the sunset a little bit of it. Not the sunset, but the glow orange off the sky. But it's still daylight outside. But
yeah,
it's
here, too.
Yeah, when I worked in Virginia, several years ago, I worked in Virginia for a couple of years doing electrical work up there. And I was near the coast. I wasn't on the coast, but I was near the coast. And it was, you know, of course, the same time zone, but it was so different because. And everything was different. But, you know, the sun was set way earlier. But it would be daylight at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And then the sun was set a lot sooner. But it was funny out there because everything was different. There's, like, here, all the schools and most businesses and stuff opened at 8 o'clock in the morning. There it was 6:30 and 7. And I was like, when I first moved, what's the deal with that? But I finally, it didn't take me long to figure out because, you know, it's the difference in the, you know, the daylight hours and stuff. And, you know, because we're in the same time zone, so. And they've been, you know, I've read about where they've been scientists and people who just thought about making more time zones to change all that, but that'd make a big mess, so they never did, you know, prove it or anything. But because you get close to the other time zone, right on the border of it, you're still in Eastern time zone, but right on the border of the Central, you know, it's 10:30 before it gets, you know, dark there, almost 11 o'clock, they say.
Yeah, it's not even 9 o'clock over here in If a Danny Boy existed here, the movie would already be playing.
Yeah, it's still daylight. But you're further east than I am. So anyway, tell me guys about this radio station. I want to know the technical stuff about it. And
I got some pictures online. I got tons of pictures, and I just haven't had time to put them online. Every time I go away, it seems like something blows up in my office. What time is it when I get back?
Well,
it's not like I didn't love this. So that's good.
Well, he had three towers out there, Michael, and one was for FM, and then the other two were for AM. And if I remember correctly, one was the backup transmitter tower, and the other one was hot all the time. But he said the towers were actually physically hot all the time, I believe he said.
All three of them are AM. All three of them are AM and run all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And then, and the one in the middle, though, has the FM antennas on top as well.
Yeah. That's the same way it is here with the radio station. They kept, adding over the years, and they'll go through every so often, and they'll get these guys that goes through, and it takes them several days to go through and redo the whole tower. They'll go through sandblasters and stuff, go all up the tower to the top of it, 200-300-foot tower, and then, strip everything off of it and refix anything and weld anything, and they'll repaint it. But after so many years, they say, in case that one does, corrode so much and fall over, it messes up, we'll add a second tower and a third tower. But then, of course, the FM antennas and little bitty things, so they stick them up there. So they just run them all the time. They've got them, tied together.
Yeah, those are pretty small looking. Yep.
I got
some
good pictures of those.
Yeah, and then he has gets out pretty good coverage because of that.
A grid pattern in the ground, I believe, right, Scott?
Yeah, there's a grid, a mesh grid in the ground that reflects the antenna signal out. So.
Yeah, my mother and father live right beside one of the towers, and it's just about where I can hit it. They live next property over, and I grew up watching them do all that stuff, and they dig the ground up and redo all that stuff. Yeah, they do the same thing here.
But he broadcasts AM stereo. He's one of the few in the United States broadcasting AM stereo, and they've got a demo of it. But it sounds every bit as good, if not better, than FM stereo.
It does. It was crazy good sounding. It was really. I was impressed.
AM's got more punch than FM does. Always has. Always will. It's just, the way the modulation's done. So, it's...
Yep.
That was my first time actually hearing real FM stereo on a real FM stereo, And I was shocked. It almost sounded as good as quality as my HD radio in my car.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got a massive collection of radios up there, too. And, He has. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, he told me he had radios and TVs and all kinds of stuff. We talked about it last week, of course, I understand what he's told me, but I don't know what he's really got. I've never seen it, but.
Yeah, he's got a good little collection going there and took us around. And one of the interesting pieces was a radio that him and his father built, a old crystal radio.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
They got the big hand wound pull.
Yep, it's got a little spool there wrapped up and had the headphones hooked up to it. Boom, there's WIO and listening to it. Just clear as a bell in there. No batteries.
Yeah, I built one of those several years ago and all that ever happened to that thing. And of course, living right next to the tower, I didn't have to build hardly much of anything, just a capacitor and a diode and ground it in the earth, and I was hearing it.
Yeah, his was the loudest one I've ever heard. Normally, you can barely hear him, but his was loud and clear, and it was cool.
What's the elevation up there, above sea level? You have any idea? Or?
Well, he's right there by the rivers right on the side of him, so he's pretty down low.
No, I know that, but that's one reason he's loud. But I was just kind of, the physical elevation up there above sea level. What's their elevation like?
Don't know.
Have to research it.
And he had everything redundant, so that way if one thing died, he could switch it over to the other one and nobody knows the difference. He had it set so that automatically at night the AM power switches down to low power to avoid interference.
Yep.
All computerized. All the music comes off hard drives. Showed us his satellite receivers that pick up his news for him and downloads to the computer automatically. That comes off of 139. And then he's got Charles Osgood coming off 139. And kind of weird. He does CBS News and Charles Osgood, which is also CBS. But then at night, he's got the MSNBC Market Watch. It's kind of rare for a radio station to have two different affiliates.
Well, that is. I didn't realize that.
He's got the CNBC and MSNBC at night. So.
Wow. I didn't realize that. Yeah, I was following you, Scott, on Facebook with everything. Was it one plane that died or something? He had to get another plane and then, or something like that, I remember you said. And maybe I'm off on that. But was that another trip
or something?
I guess
after we left on Sunday, they had a power outage. And one of the UPSs that he had for a couple of years didn't keep the computer that holds the music powered on. You know, while they're waiting for the generator to kick in.
Right.
We went on the UPS. And the, he's got another radio station that's about 40 minutes away from his station, and I guess they had one of the FM exciters going it. So Scott Beeman was there fixing the FM exciter and replacing all the capacitors and stuff like that in there and getting it back online and running and testing it. I mean, you got to be knowing what you're doing in these things. And I'm kind of an electronics geek, and I could probably wire the entire station, but if you had something broken there, I would not be able to fix it as far as going into the units themselves and replacing parts and capacitors.
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces to make that work, a lot more than I was thinking.
Yeah. I wouldn't even know.
It's
how to
not
begin.
Like just hooking your Ramsey transmitter up to your CD player. There's a lot more than that.
Oh, no. I've seen that over the years. I know the, of course, being a ham radio over the years, I've got all my own stuff. But my AM radio, I know the guy that owns the one here personally. And I've seen it go from tubes to all solid state now, and everything's redundant. You know, if one of the, everything, you know, it's all stacked up and redundant, little tube, you know, little sections, you know, and if one of them goes out, the power might drop a little bit on the transistors. When the transistor banks goes out, the amplifiers, you know, but they just jerk it out and throw another man, and it never goes off the air, you know. It's before, if one of the tubes blowed or something, you know, the station go off the air, you know, several years ago, but not anymore. It's all, and they used to, they had 8 tracks. They changed them out for playing the music now, and then they went to CDs for a little while, and now it's all on hard drives. So it's a.
And another fun thing about Jim was we were walking around the Lowell River Fest, me and Jim, and, you know, he's talking to me, and people keep hearing his voice and turning around and saying, "Hey, are you the guy in the radio?" Yes, I am.
He hadn't lived there all that long, and he knows more people than people that have lived there their whole life, they were saying. Everybody was saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a great.
The funny part about it was all these tours we went on, he's never been to these places himself, and he's lived in town for all these years.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a mini vacation for him.
Right.
The other place we went to that was kind of cool, Dave missed the trip there, but the historic Iona Theater, which is an 800-seat theater built in 1923, the city bought it and redid the entire inside, making it look like original, but it's all state-of-the-art digital inside. We actually saw them get a hard drive in the mail, and what they do is for the movie, they got the hard drive, and they pop it into their computer. They push a button on the computer. It sucks down all the data off the hard drive onto their computer system and then beeps at them when it's done. They take that other hard drive out, stick it back in the box, and ship it back to the movie company, and that's how they get their movies in. They get first-run movies that way.
Yep.
It was quite a setup, an elaborate setup, and a neat setup in there because they have 7.1 surround sound, so you got to see all the amplifiers, and they don't do DTS there, which I was kind of surprised about, only Dolby. But it was really neat. Got to see behind, you know, the screens and see the big speakers and the big horn on top. Looks really cool because it's this big, huge horn, but it's pointed down towards the audience. It just looks like something spooky that you'd see out of a 30s horror flick. There's pictures of this stuff in the WION forum. I posted those pictures online already. But really, really cool to see this old historic theater and see it modernized to be something great today. Still has all the original seatings in the 800-seat theater, but they're thinking about removing the entire center row and placing new seats in there with cup holders because people are requesting that. And since it's all volunteer-run, owned by the city, all the money that it generates goes back into the theater. So, and they
wow.
are making money with the theater, so they'll be able to do that within the next year or so, rip out all the seats and put in new seats with cup holders in the big theater. And they also have a secondary theater, which seats about 250. And it's brand new, and I didn't want to say anything, but I found it kind of weird. And the reason I found it kind of weird is because, you know, the best seat in the house when watching movies in the center. Well, for some reason, the aisle to get to the seats is in the center. So you got seats to the left and seats to the right. And
yeah.
when you're walking out, I don't understand why they didn't put aisles on the left and right and then keep the seats in the center. That was a little screwy to me, but I wasn't going to say
anything. I guess whoever was setting it up didn't really know what they was doing enough or didn't think about it or something. Who knows?
I've never seen a setup like that one before, but a very interesting place. And again, we had complete run of anything. Anything we wanted to see was not a problem. You want to see this? Come here. Let's see it.
I'll show you.
Yeah, if I went to my local movie theater and said, hey, I'd like a tour of this movie theater, they'd say, get out in 5 seconds before I call the police.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that wasn't like that over there. Anything we wanted to see, we were there, and people were just welcoming us with open arms. Everybody knew we were there. In fact, Jim even had a big sign in front of the station saying, welcome Satellite Guys to Ionia.
Hey, do you remember the one thing that I thought was really interesting, too, is do you say that one started as Menards? It's like that hardware chain, but they had a Lowe's there, and the Lowe's actually went out of business that was across the street from Menards. I've never seen a Lowe's that went out of business before as well.
Yeah, Speaking of Menards, and we'll get back to Lowe's in a second because I know the story there. But I'm from the Northeast, so I kept calling them Maynards.
Maynards.
Yeah.
And the other one was Myers, which to me, if you read the sign, it says Majors. So you had Myers and you had Menards. And it was just really weird because I kept saying them wrong and everybody kept looking at me funny when I'd say, yeah, we just came back from shopping. We bought a bunch of food at Majors. Majors? What the hell's Majors? My wife, no, he means Myers. He's an idiot. And then, yeah, I said, oh, I've never been to one of those Bernard stores, but I heard about them. Oh. That was, but the funny story about the Lowe's and why the Lowe's went out of business, because there's a trick being played by the city. They list your population of the city as being really, really high. But there's not that many people in the city. Why is that? Because Ionia holds 4 prisons in the town.
Prisons?
And prisons, 4 prisons, 4 big prisons in Ionia, and they count every inmate as a resident of the town. So when a store like Lowe's comes to town, I don't know what the numbers of the town is, but let's say they're being told by the city that there are 300,000 residents there. Well, in reality, there's only 120,000 residents in the town, and the rest of them are all inmates.
Right.
So they weren't getting the sales they wanted, and that's why Lowe's went out of business.
Menards.
No, actually, Myers. Myers.
Oh, Myers. Meyer.
Myers. That was his third store in town. They knocked it down and built a new one because they knew Walmart was coming to town. Walmart built 3 years after the Meijer store came in, rebuilt. And when Walmart came to town, Kmart went out of business. Kmart's empty, although there's a big sign there saying Kmart, but it's just a Kmart gas station now.
Yeah.
Kmart left. Because, again, not that many people for a town that's advertising that they have X number of people, but all those people are incarcerated, you know?
That is weird.
Yeah. It's the biggest employer. That's the biggest employer there is the prisons, is what Jim said.
Yep, and the other thing is the most major thing that I hated about that town, and no cell service. Getting cell service was like winning the lottery.
If you had 18, or was it, what did Jim say they, when Verizon bought Altel, they actually lost towers in the deal there, and the cell coverage
Correct.
Went downhill.
Yep. And AT&T has no towers there, and Verizon has very little towers there, and it's just, it's no fun when you're used to looking at your smartphone every 5 seconds, and you're expecting emails and this, that, and the other thing. You can't get anywhere, and you can't make phone calls. It was kind of funny. We took a historical tour, and then after the historical tour, we got in our car, and we drove away, and we drove about a mile street when we found out we had two bars on our phone. We pulled over on the side of the road and put our flasher on, saying we pulled over to the right side of the road. And the McCords who gave us the tour drove by us and saw us on the side of the road. And so they pulled over in front of us and got out of the car and asked us if everything was okay. So we're like, yeah, we're just trying to use a cell phone. It's the only place we got service in town. Like, oh, okay, we just want to make sure you weren't in trouble. So that was the major downfall of the town. Town politics in that town are a little funny. On one side of the town, you see this really big, tall cell tower standing there. Yet there's not a single antenna on it.
Yeah.
For some reason, the town gave permission for AT&T to build this tower. However, they did not give them permission to run electricity to the tower. So the tower is useless. And they've been fighting for it. They've been fighting for a while now.
There's a town south of me now. The same way they get this tower. And it's been there for years and nothing on it. Because they got permits to build the tower, but then when they get to run power to it, they're like, you can't run power to this up that side of that mountain. You're going to tear the mountain up, and we're not going to, destroy the beautiful side of the mountain running up power to it. So it's just sitting there. It's been there for years.
This tower is right next to, a road there. It would not be hard to run electricity
right.
to it all.
I mean, this one you can kind of see why they didn't do it, but...
And I don't know. If it was me, I would tell the town that, people rely on their cell phones, and if they can't use their cell phones, they're not going to come to your town to do business.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's true.
Yeah. The places are funny, though. That's the way they are. They're just the next county from us, a town, they didn't develop for years, and they're still way behind because of the politics in the town. The older people in the town is always these older people, and the same set of people always got elected and stuff and whatever. But anyway, and nothing ever came, and there was no McDonald's or nothing. I mean, the town was pretty much just like a ghost town because they didn't want any change, and so they wouldn't ever let anything come in, and people would start moving out. And then now they got the point out that they finally let McDonald's come in there, but they're always debating it, and stuff, and they got strict rules about it. That's crazy. I mean, it's funny how different areas are, different towns are, and stuff. It is funny.
Yeah. So that was Ionia, but I'm glad I went. It was very relaxing. It was very nice. The satellite guys party flew by.
Oh yeah.
But everybody went there, got something to take home with them. And my wife, they gave her a nice cake there at the restaurant. Like grilled. They gave her the cake. I tried paying for the cake because I went in there on the first time I went in there on Thursday night. I pulled Rich to the side and said, Rich, on Saturday night, it's my wife's birthday, and I'd like to get her a chocolate cake, but I don't know where to get a chocolate cake around here. Can you pick up a chocolate cake for me and have it available on Saturday night? And I'll pay you for it. And he said, oh, sure, no problem, I'll have it for you. And he brought it out on Saturday night, and she was nice and surprised, and it was a delicious cake. And then after I looked at the bill, it was cheap for 15 of us to eat and drink all night. And then I looked at the bill later on, and I noticed there was no cake down there.
Yeah.
So I went up to Rich, and I said, hey, there's no
cake on there. I want to pay you for the cake. And he's like, no, no, that's my treat. Thanks for coming, I own you. The other interesting thing about that was everybody that we met down there during the week, they all came in and at the night of the party, and not a lot of them stayed, but everybody gave my wife a birthday present or a birthday card.
Wow, that's nice.
I thought that was nice for somebody that they only met once or twice during the week.
Right.
We never actually mentioned to anybody besides Rich and Jim knew that it was her birthday, but we never mentioned it was her birthday. So
right.
It was kind of nice that they went above and beyond to think about her and get her something. So I was very happy. I felt great when I left there.
Wow.
Very, very nice. The whole week was nice. Just very nice town and great people.
Yeah, same. She put some on Facebook about it. She was so surprised about the cake and blah, 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 blah. It was, that was pretty nice. It's nice to know that you can go a place like that. I mean, you got have your inconveniences here and there, you know, because it's not a big city or whatever, but it's still, oh, this didn't work or that didn't work or whatever, but you come back satisfied, you come back happy and relaxed, and that's all that matters, you know.
Yeah, right. Even the whole hotel ordeal, that was
yeah.
not an issue.
Right.
I'll tell you what.
Hotels, but hey, we had a good time. You know, I mean, that's what counts, you know.
Even Jim was upset about the hotel.
That was good.
I'm not that upset about Jim. Don't worry about it.
No, I mean, it was good. He wasn't going, no, wait a minute, you know.
But it was a nice success, and we're going to have to do it again.
Definitely. Sounds like it. So what's your next planned trip, Scott?
I don't have any currently. I'm going to get some alone time in the middle of August. My wife and kids are going away on actually a cruise from Boston to the Bahamas.
Oh. But now, how do you end up getting that deal figured out? Or you're going to be home, or is it because of your work? Or
yeah, I don't have no vacation time. See, I only get 2 weeks a year to take vacation at my office, and
right.
You know, 1 week is going down to CES,
right.
Satellite guys, and then the other week's usually going for Team Summit, which I did not do this year. But we took a cruise earlier after CES this year. We took a cruise, so. My vacation time is used up.
So you're stuck home alone.
Yep, so I'm stuck home alone.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
Yep, and then I think the week after they get back, that's when everybody starts gutting my kitchen and we get the new kitchen started putting in. I think that's gonna take about 4 weeks to do it all.
Yeah, make sure you take plenty of pictures of that, too.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. We finally had the closing actually last night for the refinance and won't get the money until Monday, but that's all done now.
That's good to know. I was kind of far along on that, so now it's finally done.
Yeah, it was a pain at the end because we used to own a house, a second house that we rented to my father, and they wanted proof that it was sold.
Right.
They wanted a copy of the paperwork, but since it sold 2 years ago, I never kept the paperwork. It was like, sold, it's done. Why do I need this paperwork anymore? Threw it away.
Right.
And so it was like, well, we need proof that you sold the house. And I went to the town land records and sent them a copy of that. They didn't like that.
Yeah.
Finally, I called my attorney up, and she had to dig around and get a copy of the original document saying that and they sent that over to him. And it was like, geez, you guys got copies of my credit reports. You know that nothing's showing there for another property and
right.
All this other stuff. And haven't made payment on it 2 years. You think if I didn't make a payment on it, it'd be showing up in my credit report?
All right, exactly. So what? Go ahead.
And we locked in at 3%, which was great because it's already
wow.
Up to 5 now.
Very good.
We got in at the right time.
So, picture you took everywhere, did you come up with your cell phone, or you got a regular camera you use? Or?
Yeah, I use a regular camera.
What kind? What would you use?
Some little Nikon thing in my pocket.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know the model.
I mean, if it's a point and shoot, if it's SLR. Or...
Yeah. No, I brought my digital SLR, but never actually even took it out of the suitcase.
Wow. I used to use point and shoot for everything, but then I get now I've got to where if I have to, I just use the SLR and just throw it in automatic mode. And if I have to hand my wife over here, it's in automatic mode, just do the best you can with it. So, and go ahead.
That I was going to say, the pictures of your daughter that you put in the file memory came out great.
Yeah, I set all that up. It's all set up, and then after I took them and stuff, and my wife goes, oh, now I see where you paid $500 just for a lens. She goes, because that was half the price of the camera body. I said, yeah, exactly. It's a big difference when you use a kit lens and you go with that. I can go taking pictures and stuff. I was just curious what you was using, and stuff. The one I'm using is a Canon digital SLR, but I still got a point and shoot I use for, quick stuff, but anymore I just grab it and go with it anymore, the digital SLR, and just go with it anymore.
Yeah, the next couple days you should see me posting WION radio station pictures from inside. And those will be posted in the WION flow.
Right, that's what I asked a couple times about, because I'm real curious about seeing that stuff. That stuff intrigues me. I've seen plenty of it around here. I grew up with it and stuff. I always enjoy seeing somebody else's setup and how they get set up. I always enjoy that.
It was a neat thing to see. It was definitely neat.
But I think it's about time to call it night on this show.
Sounds good, because I'm getting all wrinkled in the water now.
Well, everybody have a good night. Thanks for tuning in.
Appreciate you calling in, Scott, and telling all about the on and how that went. I was curious about it. And we'll look forward to the pictures. And everybody tune in next week. Same time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Same place. And we will be here. Hit the button, Dave.
Excuse me, sir. The show's over.
Thank you. And good night.
Thanks to all that tuned in tonight. Join those crazy satellite guys, Michael and Dave, next week for another exciting episode of Satellite Nation.
Bye-bye.
I want to see motion and movement. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay?
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hello?